KBOO Community Radio is proud to welcome the Golden Rule Peace Boat to Portland, Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. In 1958, a crew of Quaker peace activists attempted to sail the Golden Rule to the Marshall Islands to interfere with U.S. nuclear bomb testing. This bold, nonviolent direct action inspired a worldwide movement leading to the Partial Nuclear Test Ban Treaty of 1963. On June 8th, there will be a panel presentation and discussion of their past work and plans for a peaceful, sustainable future, featuring Harvey Wasserman of Solartopia, Mimi German of The Radcast, Teresa Rayford from Don't Shoot Portland, and many more. Music will be provided by Dave Rovix. Again, that's the Golden Rule Peace Boat panel discussion on Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1011 Southwest 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8 a.m. Coming up is Positively Revolting. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Oregon Country Fair, July 8th, 9th, and 10th, featuring music, food, and crafts in Vineta, Oregon. Admission and parking tickets are available only at Tickets West, as absolutely no tickets will be sold at the fair site. Directions to this family event and information on the shuttle at Valley River Center is available online at OregonCountryFair.org.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Is something like 2 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to Positively Revolting here on KBOO, your very own community radio station. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And this morning, it's
what is this? What are we doing this morning?
What is this?
This is Positively Revolting. This is our show.
You might ask. Keeping folks guessing. Even including us. I have to say, so Lynn and I had this idea. We were going to talk about this thing this morning. And we had articles and we have supporting arguments and we have essays and we have stuff and commentary written. And then we started talking yesterday about maybe it's actually more to the point to do a program offering a little in-depth insight, a little look into ourselves in that Astro Tarot kind of way, because, well, things just seem to be up and flying, as it were. And we kind of checked in with ourselves and we couldn't really decide. And I just have to actually let people know a little bit behind the scenes, that little processing moment when really we're sitting in the studio and we flipped a coin and the coin came down and now we're doing the opposite of what the coin toss actually said we were going to do. And we're going forward with the Astro Tarot readings, the little mini bite-sized fun readings this morning. If you would like one, go ahead, give us a call, 503-231-8187.
If you've had one lately.
Oh, yep. Yeah, you might want to step
let
back.
Other people, but
if you haven't, please give us a call. And the reason I wanted to go ahead and just let people know a little bit of the behind the scenes, a little bit of the pulling the curtain up, is because I think that kind of energy is actually part of what's going on. Am I not? Am I right there, Lynn? You have been talking about a lot of retrograde stuff.
Well, last month there were 5 planets retrograde, which I've been reading this article, and they were saying it was one giant tough love kind of seminar. We are down to 3 now. Jupiter and Mercury went direct, so communications might be a little bit easier. And Jupiter is the planet of many things. Luck, it's a real gassy planet, so it's things, it can be a total house of cards, depending upon where it is in your chart. But I've noticed for myself, some things have been going my way a little bit more, the way I want them to. whatever our way is of course, a different thing. But with Jupiter retrograde, people were having a lot of issues with support systems. And crutches that you normally have kind of have a way of disappearing. So last month was really hard. I've just had so many people coming up to me going, what is this planetary configuration from hell? What is going on? You know, Mercury is communication and things like our computer systems. Pluto is, I love in this one thing I was reading, it said, oh, it's love and relationships from hell. It is. It is deep psychological issues and transformation. Very good time to be consulting a therapist. I would assume therapists have been pretty busy. But in this culture, they can be busy all the time because we need it. And Saturn, people some say, is the planet of karma. But I go, it's the planet of hard work. And I guess karma in that on a kind of immediate basis, it tends to reward hard work. I don't mean that in a sort of work ethic kind of way, but if you're really concentrating and being conscious of something with Saturn, it will reward you. And if not, things are just topsy-turvy.
Topsy-turvy, you say?
Uh-huh. Mm. They can be very topsy-turvy. And when it's retrograde, there's all kinds of, whatever you need to sort of physically be working on will come back to you. It's like with Pluto retrograde, psychological issues that need to be dealt with will come right up. On a national level, the flying monkeys have been released. The deep underbelly racist, xenophobic, whatever phobic you want to talk about, has been released in the American culture right now. Things we thought we had possibly dealt with are coming back like crazy. And at first, you know, it was just the war on women, but now it's the war on the other seems to be huge. And I just think it's to me, it's important because those things have to come up and out and we have to deal with them. But it's also very difficult. N'est-ce pas?
Oui. I think that, this was actually that, the demonization of the other, was where our initial focus was going to be. But of course, it is part and parcel with the way of the universe right now, right? Mm-hmm. But I do want to point out a little something about that. In an article I found, actually it's from Time. And figure. The article is actually called "Welcome to the Election from Hell," and yeah, there you go. That said, it has this quote. This quote that I'm now trying furiously. There is my cursor. The quote kind of sums up the feeling that I think Lynn and I are perceiving and trying to wrap ourselves around. That is the underlying principle that explains candidate messaging and voter rancor this year is someone has to be punished. The author calls this the American anger agenda, a litany of people and policies that have wronged us in some way and need to be held up for mockery and ridicule. And even if those people that are now being targeted haven't been the people harming you, for folks that are watching the world change around them, for people that are isolated and afraid, for people that are looking at their economic base being less and less secure and social contracts being less and less real, then I believe we're watching this anger response. And yeah, somebody's got to be punished. I'm uncomfortable. What is my candidate going to do to really put down those people that are out there somewhere? So I just
want to. Is a hugely retrograde idea. That is completely contrary to everything many of us have been working towards.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
So I just wanted to throw that out
there. B and C and D, it doesn't work.
You know, because that is, I think, part of the water we're swimming in this week. Anger, frustration, fear seems to be at a high point. And whenever I feel like fear is looming large, I have to say, love more. Because really, love is the antidote to fear. And I think that it is important to
at least
really
try a little compassion.
To really focus on compassionate response right now. Mm-hmm. Stay grounded, stay centered, and stay compassionate with each other and with yourselves. And with that, we have bases loaded. Shall we talk to Mark?
Kel Surprise.
Let's go ahead and let's look at that. Jaguar. Good morning, Jaguar. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Lynn is going to want your birth details.
Sure. April 28th, 1953, 8:38 p.m., New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Excellent. Thank you very much. This is where we could use the Jeopardy music as I shuffle and Lynn calculates. But, you know, everything is a little surprising this morning, and it's okay. We'll just hum for a moment together.
La, 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 la.
Thank you, Jaguar.
Hi, I've met you before.
Excellent. You know, we're all in this together, so. Okay, what I have for you this morning is, looking at things, you're entering. Your tendency is to be a little analytical about things and to lead with your intellect, and that's fantastic. Actually, it is something that it's a strong suit, and it's important to be able to make friends with your strengths and knowing that your will is one of your strongest suits, that you are a person of integrity, and that your quick-wittedness, your analytical abilities are serving you well and are functioning really at high speed right now.
Uh-huh.
So if you have an inclination, if you have a decision looming large, then really checking out the analytical process and making your flow charts for your decisions. That's the part of yourself to lead with. And knowing that really your understanding, your insight is sharp and trustworthy. The thing that is needing a little more focus, I think, is actually balancing with the rest of yourself. And that is, you know, to be in our full power means that we pay attention to not only our will and our intellect, but our hearts and our bodies, and that connection to greater spirit. And knowing that to make friends with our strengths, and also to make friends with our strengths and to be able to stretch ourselves in other ways. It's important to, what do I want to say? It's important to pull together and where you think that you have shortcomings, understand that those are just actually really, and I don't mean to sound trite at all, but those are areas for you to look at for growth. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's really, they're not shortcomings, and you don't need to be afraid of them. They are, in fact, what you're learning right now, and it's kind of an exciting process.
Yes. Well, that's very fitting. do you want to hear what's going on?
I'd love
first,
to.
Wait, one second. When you were giving me the information, I'm writing it down. Was it 8:38 a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to hear what's going on for you.
Well, I've been single for 20 years, and I love being single. And I'm going to my 45th high school reunion in November. And every 5 years, I go back, and I always connect with some old boy, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so now I have been in touch with my first boyfriend. I don't plan this. I just live very spontaneously and synchronistically.
Uh-huh.
And we had our first kiss in third grade in a sewer pipe, and Scorpio is strong in my chart. It's really funny.
Okay, I'm totally loving this. Okay, go ahead.
And so he has never married, and he's head over heels over me. We saw each other 10 years ago at our reunion.
Oh, holy God, your first kiss was in a sewer pipe when you were 8. I mean, how could he not be head over heels for you? Okay, go ahead.
I know, isn't that funny?
It's awesome.
And so I have been, like, rehashing, like, you know, my fears of being controlled. I felt controlled in other relationships. And I even wrote this down, and I reframed it. Instead of saying I have a fear of being controlled, I have a fear of allowing myself to be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I wrote this on a newspaper that I was doing the crossword puzzle. And there was a quote by Dr. Seuss in this crossword puzzle, and it says, "You are in control of your life." Is that, like, too bizarre?
Do you want the universe to come out with flashing signs? Because, like, that's pretty, you know.
I know.
That's pretty up there.
Well, and, you know, you have, like, what, Pluto in the 10th house?
Ninth.
Is it ninth? Okay. Yeah. So it's up on the upper quadrant. You are in control. But, you know, you got Venus and Aries and what would be the person who tries to control it, which would be a Scorpio, by the way. And it would be subtle.
Uh-huh.
It would not be, it would be manipulative. It would not be as a sort of Taurus sort of.
Very much. I'm an astrologer, too. So.
Oh, so you came in to bust me. Okay, great. Thanks. But these are things that, I mean, so you know that, so I don't know what his chart is, so are you guys squared by degree, or?
You know, past relationships, when I've had strong connections with somebody astrologically, it doesn't work out. With him, you know, we're born the same year, but we don't have close connections other than the generational one.
Well, but, and those are big, though.
Definitely. But, you know, I'm thinking that, hey, it might be better to not have that.
Well, I don't know. I just know that, that sometimes that Scorpio-Aries thing, because basically you're both ruled by, with the Aries emotional things that you have, and you have Mercury in Aries, and that Venus in Aries is very prominent in women who don't want to be controlled, and you can't be, so I wouldn't worry about it. But how are you with manipulation? I mean, is it something that that you catch on to really fast? I mean,
yeah, and I think more and more as time goes by.
You know, yeah, really. And you're old enough to deal with this now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is it? One of the most wonderful things about going around and round on the astrology wheel is that all those things, the angst of relationships are less angsty.
Uh huh.
Because you know who you are, which was all the point in the first place.
Absolutely.
And a very good friend of mine, Todd Davies, sent out an article about taking relationships with a pessimistic attitude, that you, of course, you will be disappointed, and because you pick the wrong person, because you always pick somebody that's parent-like, and deal with that and love them for who they are.
Yes.
If that makes sense to you.
Yes.
Well, have fun at your reunion.
Yeah, well, thank you. I will.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take good care. And coming up next, I do believe we have Becky. Good morning, Becky.
Hi.
Hello and good morning.
Hello.
Lynn will want all of your particulars of the birth.
Your pertinence.
The birthing okay. varieties.
So my birthday is next week. It's June 8th, 1963, 2:01 p.m., Iowa City, Iowa.
Thank you.
And now I shuffle. And actually, I'm there we go. Oh!
Thank you, Kristen.
Look at that. Kristen is the engineer of Mostis.
I love the song.
We'll see. She knew.
She's good, that one. All right. And thank you, Kristen. We've got it. And thank you, Becky, for holding on. So what I'm seeing is that there's a couple of things going on for you. It's important to, at this point, there's a little murkiness, and I'm wondering if, well, the murkiness is, let me explain, sort of heart-centered. It's kind of getting through some confusing mixed messages, disappointments, getting to down to a deeper level of your emotional self, but it's not an easy process at this moment. There's a little bit of needing to push yourself through it. It's comfortable not to to push yourself. It's comfortable to stay at this level of, well, and it might not be even so comfortable, but it's familiar to stay at this level of not knowing what your heart really wants.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the place where you need to be, right? You want to be in your full power. And so it's a little difficult to be in your full power when it's almost like there's a just sort of turning away. It's like not wanting to necessarily see something very clearly that's there for you to see.
Okay.
That it can, this hesitation, this not necessarily wanting to see what's there, can also mean that you're going to be missing truly wonderful things that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Because really one needs to be open to embrace opportunities. I'm not somebody who thinks, you know, like opportunities only knock once and, you know, you'd better, it's not like that. It's just, you are your own cloud right now. And you probably want to not be. You can actually just, again, it's about loving yourself and it's about knowing that you really are okay and allowing yourself to see clearly what's going on around you. And ultimately, you really have this inner drive to do so. You just have to break through that comfort zone. You have to push yourself right now. And that's more or less what I'm seeing, that you actually have a lot of willpower. You're a very strong person. And this is just one of those sort of karmic points where you have to push. And it's going to be okay.
Okay.
So did you have a question?
The question's always just like, what should I do in my life?
What do I need to know for now? Yeah, that's always a good one.
That's the best one.
But really.
So I see being a Gemini and having your son in kind of the 11th houses. That's kind of nice. Fitting. Groups are good. You can go from person to person that way. But you also have this kind of fussy cluster of Virgo in the second and
I didn't know that.
Third houses.
That's funny. I have opinions about Virgos, but I didn't feel I had any.
Well, that's not your sun sign.
Right. I mean,
but you have you have Mars there, which would give you opinions about all manner of things, of course. and Pluto there, kind of conjunct in a it's kind of getting to be a wide orb, but kind of conjunct to each other, which would make you kind of fussy about certain things. And it's certainly going to make you fussy about what your desire nature is, how you that might be something I don't want to say to let go of, but to use it in a way that will be helpful for you. Because right now Jupiter is going through there, so it could be you have Jupiter was just sort of conjunct Pluto, so there's some things in your life that could go your way, and maybe that's the push through thing that Ani is seeing also. But yeah, you're pretty airy. except for and the Earth that you have is kind of you do have Mercury and Venus. Oh, Venus and Taurus is very nice. Okay, so you're balanced, though, so I'll just shut up. Sorry, I'm seeing your chart for the first time.
That's the joy of these.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, the part that the Mercury part that I, because you know, if you see more than three planets somewhere, so that is in the second and the third house. The second house is ruled by Venus, but it's your desire nature, but it's also kind of how you like to make money. And the third house can deal with, is ruled by Gemini, which is what you are. It's also about siblings and things. So this is an area of your life that I just feel it's something that needs to be drawn to your attention somehow. Is making money, has that changed a lot for you lately? Hello?
We're not sure if Becky is still there.
Becky may be gone. Just like a Gemini.
Well, and our engineering pixie is actually in the process of growing new limbs, I think, because she is busy. She is multitasking up a storm. So we think Becky may have left us. So coming up next, we have Italia. Good morning, Italia.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fantastic, actually. Thanks so much for calling. And here I am. I'm doing the shuffling thing. And
that's all right. I've got your pertinence.
Ah, look at that. Lynn already has. So okay. I am. Yeah, let's just.
Two, three. Or do you need my birthday?
I think.
Have we not done your chart before?
Yes.
I think Lynn might have your details. She has your deeds. Okay. So with that in mind.
If I can get it.
And, the radio aspect of this. I just never knew.
I can't believe I got through because this is like kind of a crazy time.
It is kind of a crazy time, which is in fact why we thought we would go ahead and do this thing. All right. So what I'm having is, this is a time where you are perhaps feeling a little weather-worn, a little threadbare, perhaps. I always love the quote from, it's not The Hobbit. It is, in fact, the first of the three. The feeling like it's a Bilbo Baggins quote, feeling like, so much butter spread over too much toast. and that's sort of the overall feeling I'm picking up from the cards for you. That there's been a lot of activity and that cooperation hasn't necessarily been all that forthcoming. And so... Uh-huh. I think there may have been a tendency to grab onto something, sort of perceiving, well, this will just have to do. This will be fine. This will have to do. This is mine. This is the thing. And knowing that that's going on in more than one person. that there's a situation where that just has been the vibe, sort of a grabbing what can be grabbed before the thing is gone, and not necessarily looking out for a bigger picture, not necessarily a grander cooperation, which is sometimes not even, you know, it's not possible. And it's unfortunate when it's not possible, but just to put it out there, I'm not saying this in like a blaming way, but it's like, that's the vibe of the situation that I'm seeing. It's an inversed Page of Pentacles and an inversed Hierophant. And it's really looking at together. Yeah, words, they're not my friend this morning. I have cartoon images in my head explaining everything, and maybe I'll just start talking about what they are. This is actually how
good
I
for
get,
radio.
This is how I get most of my psychic inspiration. I get cartoons in my head. But I see many hands grabbing at a pie until the pie's not there and the hands are kind of messy and nobody's happy about it. Nobody's had a satisfying experience, right? Nobody actually got to enjoy their piece. It was more the grab. Because that was the action. That was the activity.
That's very pertinent to what just happened.
And so the end result of that right now is you need to spend some time turning inwards and settling stuff out just internally, your own processing. The final card I have is the Eight of Cups. And that's the card that says, you know, you've been a little weather-worn. You've taken and you've given slings, arrows, punches, you know, there has been the involvement in the activity, the fray. And now it's time for you to actually pull back and heal and focus on yourself and focus on what you need to refresh your own spirit and to get deeper in your own process.
Okay.
So that's what I have.
That's what this article that I was reading about Pluto being in retrograde was time to take selfies. But what she means by that is self-assessment. I'm hoping that's what she means by that, because that's how I'm going to interpret it. But and also, you've had Saturn running through your second house, which can just, if you've got things you want to get done, it can just feel like you're being sat upon. That it's just that it's hard to get things to sort of, and we're all having Saturn retrograde right now, which is like things that we want to put in motion are sort of doubly hard to do. But
Mercury retrograde was like a horrible period of time for me.
Yeah, yeah. Almost everyone I know.
It really for us all, and it usually doesn't
hit
me
that way. It was trying. Let's just say
it was off the charts.
It was, yeah. It was, talk about miscommunications. That was really hard. That is over for now. You know, it always comes up again. And also Jupiter is direct, which to me is, so we've got the three, Mars, Saturn, and Pluto are still retrograde, which is, so we still all have work to do, but things have lessened up a wee bit. And I think that's what Ani's talking about with, you know, self-care sounds so trite and trivial, but...
Oh, but it's not.
But it's not. And, and you know, and what was... so you have... Pluto is... has just gone by Venus in your chart. So, and people have always said to me, "Oh, that must be fun." No, Pluto transits are always introspective, even if they're something that can be seem easy. Yeah, there's nothing ever easy about that. So, you've had to really look at what you really want in a practical way, I would say.
Can I sort of gear a question
towards,
like, we finally, after 2 months of kind of basic hell, were able to buy a little farm, and I'm, you know, the, you know, hopefully would like to sustain it. I mean, to make money to live, basically. I mean, is there any sign of any sort of, I don't know, like business or financial things in my chart or
well, I will say that Chiron
taking on too much that I can.
No. It's going to feel like that. You're having your Chiron return, and that's in the fifth house of creativity. It's in Pisces, so that is the key word for you. Stick with what. Even though this is a hard, that's what I mean. I was seeing Saturn going through your second house. That's desire nature, but it's also how you make money. So it seems harder than it is. Just keep your nose to the grindstone, but stay. That sounds contradictory, I know, but oh well. Welcome to life. Keep your nose to the grindstone, but stay as creative as you can, because that's going to be what heals you. And if it doesn't heal you, then what difference does it make?
Wow.
So it's. And it's sort of, again, reflected in the cards too. It's that you have to move forward now, right? You have to do something. And that's that nose to the grindstone. It is not the time to sort of take a deep breath and sit there and go, whoa.
Yeah. And it may not feel like you're making any progress, but you are.
Right. But in the focus of what you're doing, yeah, focus on the tangible, right? Focus mm-hmm. on the material. And focus on your own body, your own care.
Right. Chiron is the
part and parcel.
Chiron is the planetoid of the wounded healer. It represents naturopathic medicine, and but what's going to heal you is creativity, and of course farming is very much that.
All
it's
about
not
it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
right? Cuz I want to incorporate sort of the cooking part, which
yeah,
is
yeah.
the
All right.
As
creative.
Well, you should. I think it sounds good.
Thank
that's
you
what
so
will,
much.
That's what will heal you.
Thank
so, thanks,
you
Italia.
So much.
Yeah.
Have a great
You're welcome.
Day.
You too.
Bye.
You take care. And there we have that. And 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you would like to join us this morning. We are doing bite-sized, mini, fun-sized, chum-sized astro tarot readings. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And this is Positively Revolting. You are listening to your very own community radio station, 90.7 FM Portland. And you...
And KBOO.FM on the World Wide Web, which no one says anymore. But that's for all you folks that are out of our translator, out of our terrestrial reach.
Yes. You can be in our extraterrestrial reach. You can please like us on Facebook. I have to say, I'm excited. We have three people to go to reach 700
Come on,
supporters
people.
On Facebook, because that seems like a milestone, and I get all excited about milestones. I don't know. I'm kind of goal-oriented at times in strange and unpredictable ways. 503-231-8187. On Facebook, you can find us at Positively Revolting. You can also follow along in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt.
And, you know, we at KBOO have a really great new mobile app that you can download from iTunes if you have, but I hear that if you have...
Google Play has it.
Thank you.
If you have
and
one
Google
of them
Play.
Androids.
That's right. Yes, I was informed about that. So do that. If you have missed a show, just go to Programs and find our program and find Positively Revolting, and then you can, on your little phone, check out some of our shows. We talked to Michael Mead for a couple weeks. We've talked to The Village Bird. We've done all manner of things, and you can find those on the mobile app to hear again if you missed them. Or
That's
today,
right.
if you had your chart on and you want to hear it again.
You can have Lynn and I in your pocket. Any time we can talk to you from your very own pocket. All right. And with that, let's go ahead and talk to Tim. Good morning, Tim. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was interested in reading.
Okay.
Lynn's going to need your deets.
Let's see. June 28th, 1941, Highland Park, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
10 p.m.
Okay.
Hello, fellow Cancerian.
And fellow Chicago-arian.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Connections to both of us in
I
different
know.
Ways. All right. What I have for you is, I snuck up on you, Kristen. I was shuffling already. I'm ready to go. what I have for you is, this is a, I always like to start off with, this is an interesting time, isn't it? Because who could disagree? This is a time where coming into focus for you are matters on the spiritual level. And really looking at your own wisdom, your own intuitive sense, applying that in your life, actually knowing that you can embrace your intuitive side and that it's there for you. It's something that perhaps you have not always readily recognized, but it is there for you to access. It's also, you know, I have to say part of it is a very sort of feminine nature and looking at the balancing of your own energies in that way of being. And when I say feminine in nature, you know, a lot of that is really drawn from gender role socializing, right? And but it's to allow yourself to be receptive. It's to allow yourself.
Say that again. Say that sentence again.
You know, a lot of times when you talk to people about the psychic realms or, you know, looking at our psyches, we talk about our feminine natures and our masculine natures and trying to balance those energies. And,
right.
And I personally, over the last several years, when I find myself saying, you know, your feminine energies or your masculine energies, I realize really what I'm talking about is gender role socializing and the constructs mm-hmm. that we give, quote, masculine and, quote, feminine. But what I'm talking about specifically is allowing yourself to be receptive and knowing that you actually are, you're actually quite a receiver. Your intuitive sense is pretty sharp. But sometimes you're not comfortable with that, and so you kind of get in your own way sometimes there. Sometime you've been spending effort really achieving and honing your skills in this world, and this is a wonderful time to actually look at what you have achieved. And not to really rest on your laurels, but to be both proud of your achievements and to continue to look at the further refinements, because you're at not really a turning point. You've accomplished a lot and you can continue to distill that knowledge, that experience, and turn it to sort of a master craftsman sort of level, right? Whatever that pursuit has been for you. And then, also I just sort of want to throw in a caution about finding balance when things get topsy-turvy. There's sometimes, you know, the rug gets pulled out from under us. And if you're finding that happening, you know, again, calling to your intuitive sense, staying open psychically, staying grounded spiritually, and knowing that you have a vast amount of knowledge in your chosen fields, your experience has really paid off. That these are things that you can use to sort of write your ship again. That these are things that you can use to come back to center, and to regain balance after any kind of upset, external forces pulling the rug out, sort of stuff.
Thanks for reminding me of that.
Sometimes it's the stuff that sort of sounds obvious, but
Jim
we
is
forget.
Cancer with Leo Moon as well.
And I know for myself, let's just say what I just said for you could go twice for me this week.
Yes, what a sensitive soul. You know, and you, wow. So have you been in the healing arts?
No.
Really? Well,
but I've
that's
always
too bad
been,
you missed it.
I've always been real political.
I've
always been interested in history and politics.
Interesting. Well, it's, you know, very important to know where we've been, or we'll keep on going there.
As well as you know, drawing and painting and playing guitar.
Yeah, I see. I mean, you have just this packed 10th house, which is career and how people see you, and it's very and it's in Leo, so that tends to be creative and music can do that. You've had have you had a change in basically how you've made money or how you feel?
Oh yeah, well I retired 8 years ago.
How nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel I'm really a fortunate person. I mean, I have very little money. I've never had any kind of real money, but I'm extremely fortunate. You know?
I hear you.
You know, and when I get down about things, I start thinking, you know, I could be living in Gaza or something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always true that we can look around and go, well, I can have it worse. But it's also important to have compassion for yourself and realize, well, challenges are still challenging.
We're talking like three people with Leo moons here is what this is. Not everybody sees things that way. That's part of having this sort of triumvirate of Leo that you have in the 10th house will give you that, I don't want to call it a sunny disposition, but it's Leo. It's the sun. I have an ability to see things from that angle, which perspective means a lot.
Can I ask you a question?
You betcha.
Please.
What is my rising sign?
As I recall, Mr. Scorpio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so we're...
You two are cosmic twins. You and Ani are cosmic twins today.
It's the moon, it's the rising, it's the sun. You're a fantastic person. There's nothing more to say. I'm not biased at all. But, you know, so... Again, I just want to get back to that the skills that you have, the experience you have, the wisdom that you've attained. They're wonderful, and also that creative sense, close friends, a sense of play. Remember to continue to play, and that is also going to be really really super important as and when, because they always do, things get bumpy. Life would get boring without bumps. And although sometimes we kind of think, maybe it'd be nice to be a little bored. But, you know, we wouldn't really like it after a while. So, again, remembering your experience, your inner wisdom, remaining open to your intuition, because it's really going to guide you in the right thing to do. But remembering your friends and remembering that sense of play. I'd forgotten to mention that as well. But friends and a sense of play is huge.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Tim.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. And with that, we have, oh, look at that, 13 minutes left. At least time for one more. Possibly two, but at least one. And that means Matt's up next. Good morning, Matt. You are on the air.
Good morning, Ani and Lynn. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?
Doing all right myself. It's good to
cool.
hear from you.
Thanks. Yeah, it's great to listen to the show. I'm glad I got through.
Tell me your pertinence, monsieur.
My pertinence today and this week and recently.
More your birthday first.
My birthday. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. My birthday is March 10th. Do you need the time? I think it was around 1 in the morning.
And the year?
That would be 1983.
And the place?
Oh, the place would be White Plains, New York.
Okie dokie. Hmm.
All right. And then if you want to give us pertinence about what's going on for you, you can do that too. Or if you...
All right. Basically, I find myself in a position where I'm being called on to harness skills that don't really feel utilized enough. I'm being asked to, like, being asked by myself or whatever, but in life, I need to really cultivate a more of a positive mental attitude, and this is more of a a struggle than I would have thought. There's apparently some negativity and, you know, negativity masked as skepticism or a critical perspective, which is, you know, regardless of how it may have started, has just snowballed into negativity, and I'm trying to dismantle that.
Right. Okay, that makes...
A noble ambition, sir.
I was going to say that makes sense. And yeah, that's a really, really good idea. And good for us all, actually. So what I have is... Thank you, Kristen. I need to, like, work out a little hand signal or something. And thank you for picking Blondie.
Yeah, right?
She is the engineer with the mostest. Okay, I'm good. And so one of the things that I think is important for you to sort of... just pay attention to and realize where some of the feelings are coming from. You know, that negativity that you're trying to sort of get past and get in perspective. It's important to get to the root of it. It's not just enough to tell yourself to be positive or, you know, hey, you know, focus on the good things, you know, gratitude. I have friends, I love people who are like, you know, we just have to give thanks all the time. Even when things are crappy, we have to give thanks all the time. And whereas, right, like, there's the part of myself that knows, yes, it's true. Giving thanks is a huge, important thing, and it does help the flow, and it does help you feel better, and it is an important attitude to take with you in the universe. It's
Barbara
also,
Ford does good work on that.
But you know, it's also... all perspective.
That's what I mean.
Right?
Sort of, it's, yeah, reasonable gratitude.
Reasonable gratitude.
Reasonable gratitude. I like that.
You don't have to say thank you for getting kicked in the teeth, you know? And so I think that kind
they
of like our theme.
They break our legs and we say thank you when they offer us crutches. You
just like our
that
theme song,
yeah,
says. That's falseness, right? That's not actual gratitude. That's just like learning to be a good...
right.
Yeah. Corporate. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Corporate cog.
Right.
So I think that some of this attitude that that persistent sort of negativity is around early experiences of being judged unfairly, of injustice, of people providing ample example of not being fair or right or kind-hearted or compassionate. And that you'd kind of take that in as you're developing, you know, the ideas of fairness, of what compassion and compassionate justice looks like. And it can kind of, you know, again, create sort of an illusory foundation. And so it's important to get through to the actual cause of that negative attitude, the pervasiveness, and to do healing work around that, as opposed to just putting the layer on that says, I will be positive now.
Yeah.
Also, oh, go ahead.
Lynn, you can butt in if you want. So it's also, this is an important time to... You've got a couple things going on. The Five of Pentacles and the Four of Pentacles are both present. And I just wanted to... They're both looking at the material world. They're both looking at... but from sort of... how do I say? Working together. It can be... The Four of Pentacles is really looking about... hearth. It's about a way of gathering your own material around you, material gain, the home that you can keep your own treasures safe in, but that also keeps other people out, if that makes sense. Right.
Yes.
Right. So yeah. when you're doing like when you're drawing the circle around yourself and knowing what is yours and knowing what you have, it also does create a boundary. Boundaries aren't always bad, but it's important to just actually exactly, see the effect. Right. Yeah. Not saying boundaries are bad, but saying that it's important to make sure it's semi-permeable and not isolating.
Yeah.
Right. And then also looking at getting over loss. And again, it's not enough to tell yourself to be positive, but really healing issues of your own past that have been right up there, like serious survival issues. Lack of material for sure, but just getting over things that have been heartbreaking for you. And it's doing that foundational healing work that really needs to happen before. And it's important to keep a positive attitude. It's important to keep your heart open and to continue to be compassionate and loving. But it's also super important to understand why that's challenging for you right now.
Right. Yeah.
All right, my Pisces brother.
Thank you very much.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
But now you get the astral part.
Whoa.
Oh, yes.
Yes, my Pisces brother. You are a sieve, baby. You are a sponge. You are a double Pisces.
That's so true.
It is so important for you to be around people that are not going to, it's just who you are. And there's times when you have to be around people that are not going to suck you dry. You have to be around people that will help you with your positive attitude. Sometimes take a media fast from all this insanity that's happening, just to have whether, you know, I meditate with knitting. That's what I do. It works for me. It works for my brain that way. Sometimes it can be bike riding. It could be a physical activity. It could be art. Whatever it is, you got to get away from that other stuff so that you can find your center, because you're a double Pisces with an Aquarius moon grounding, not your forte, but you can do it. I'm not saying you can't do it. And and Pluto is going through your 11th house of groups right now. So it is just very, listen to who you're with. And if it feels right, be with them. If it doesn't, don't. It's okay to have, and that doesn't mean you have to be cruel to have boundaries. It just means that sort of clarity, and that with Neptune as the ruler, it has a lot, you know, Neptune in its lower levels is addictions and illusion, and in its higher levels is a sort of a spiritual clarity. And it's also a lot of creativity. Most actors have a lot of Neptune. They can be, and the other thing with Pisces is people kind of project on us who they want us to be, who they think we are, and then they're mad at us when we're not that person.
Yeah.
I know. I didn't make this up. So my advice, if I have such stuff for you right now, is to clean house. Emotionally and psychically, and you will get to what is meaningful for you. And there's a lot out there to feel negative about. I'm not, you know, but it just can't rule your life. And it's time to find some things that will feel more positive. You know, spiritual stuff is important to you. I don't necessarily mean religion at all, but having a spiritual connection to a plant, going to the ground, doing a little gardening would be very good. And stay away from, take a media fast every now and then.
Tangible grounding.
Tangible grounding, and take a media fast every now and then.
Okay, yeah. Wow, yeah, this is all really tying together in a very unworldly kind of way.
Okay.
I love it when it works, Nat.
Yeah. Me too.
So you can do this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself, dear.
I will, you too.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Bye. And with that, an hour has passed.
Another sands through the hourglass.
So go the days. That's probably copyrighted. Okay. Well, there we are at the end of an hour. And we've been positively revolting.
Thank you all for tuning in.
We hope you continue to be positively revolting as well.
See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Or hear you.
Well, you'll hear us.
Bye.
comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
KABOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the 29th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place July 1st through 4th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park in Portland. This year, performers include Tedeschi Trucks Band, Dr. Joan and the Night Trippers, Maceo Parker, a Prince tribute with Liv Warfield and the Special Horns, and many, many more, plus two after-hours parties, dance competitions, six cruises, and 4th of July fireworks. This year, everyone will need a pass to enter the festival. Single-day passes go on sale June 1st, and early bird pricing has been extended to June 5th at 11:59 p.m. Again, that's the Waterfront Blues Festival, July 1st through 4th at the Waterfront Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/wbf2016.
I got my headphones on, just don't like the way it's coming.
KABOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Lost Boys of Portlandia, a film premiere gala and fundraiser for Outside the Frame, Tuesday, June 7th at 7 p.m. at Revolution Hall in Portland. Outside the Frame is a new organization that empowers homeless and marginalized youth by producing films with youth that convey their life experience. They will premiere The Lost Boys of Portlandia, a riff on Peter Pan, where real lost boys and girls debate if and how to return to mainstream society. They will also screen original film shorts by homeless youth about issues such as drug abuse, gender identity, and the healthcare system. Again, that's The Lost Boys of Portlandia, Tuesday, June 7th at 7 p.m. at Revolution Hall, 1300 Southeast Stark Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.